words of Reverend Judith Meyer, or Mayer, actually. Ann Sexton wrote, "Look to your heart that flutters in and out like a moth. God is not indifferent to your need. You have 1,000 prayers, but God has one." Unquote. Dear God, we give thanks for those moments when we can feel that we live in a world that is not indifferent to our need. We all have so many needs, 1,000 prayers, 1,000 needs that really only need one answer. Let the world not be indifferent. And may we live and may we be with each other in a way that shows this truth, whatever the day brings, that neither are we indifferent to each other. And now I would like to invite our pulpit guest, Alice Sanuski, to give us a youth perspective on Earth Day. Thank you, Alice.
The youngest person here today is everybody else in Brazil.
Okay. Hi, I'm Alice Sanuski, and I'm here. Okay. Hi, I'm Alice Sanuski, and I'm here to give you a quick perspective on environmental justice from someone who's a part of the younger generation. I grew up in Sharon, and I'm now a senior at Sharon High School, about to graduate. Firstly, I recognize and I'm thankful for having had the privilege to grow up in our green suburb. Lately, I feel environmental justice has been particularly uplifted, and rightfully so, these last decades, partly because the earth and those who brace the effects need more attention than ever, and partly because of new and ever-improving education and science. Looking back at the past, a time where lead was in everything and climate change was a polar bear's problem, we can see a lot's changed, but there's still more to do. Last year, my biology class took an online quiz that calculated how many Earths would be needed to support the world population if everyone lived our personal lifestyle. I was taken aback by the 4 Earths needed to maintain my lifestyle, which meant our one Earth and its resources wouldn't be enough for a world population full of me's. While I thought I lived somewhat sustainable, my family has solar panels. I just purchased a hybrid car, and we even recycle. At a closer look, it wasn't necessarily me, but a problem of how our country functions. On average, we would need about 5 Earths if everyone lived like those in the US. The world average is about 2, and it should be 1 or less. Rich countries like the United States, Canada, Japan, and most of Western Europe are just 12% of the global population today, yet responsible for 50% of all the planet-warming greenhouse gases. And this is generally true on a small scale as well. Wealthier places consume more and accelerate the climate catastrophe, while disadvantaged communities feel the effects. I'm okay, I haven't been displaced by wildfire or hurricane. I turn on the tap and have clean water and breathe in the crisp spring Sharon air. We know that the climate crisis is a problem. Unfortunately, it's easy to feel overwhelmed and get distracted when looking at solutions. Yet the weight of the world doesn't rest on your or my shoulders, let alone the weight of 5 Earths, although sometimes it feels like it does. Instead, it depends on the wider world and our large and small communal actions. How? Well, I think we need systemic changes with collective action. Something I gleaned from a couple articles online was, don't change light bulbs, change the energy system. That said, environmental justice to me means involving everyone's voice. To change everything, we need everyone. I wrote that last night as my mom was preparing a stack of letters encouraging strangers in Alabama to go out and vote. Because that's just it. Everyone needs a stay, essay. It is daunting to single-handedly try to change the world. I realize that I can change myself and further influence a few more along the way. From attending climate strikes in Boston, to joining a couple environmental clubs in school, and being a part of our local Sustainable Sharon nonprofit, and this church too, of course. I've surrounded myself with other educated, passionate, and hopeful individuals who embody ongoing progress. We can create a domino effect of influence, and we have, starting with our own habits and mindset. Others follow. There's strength in numbers of all races, all genders, all classes, and all communities. That's all. Thank you.
The Neponset has been called the Hidden River because it's not easily accessible or even visible in many sections, and hasn't had the high profile of 2 other large but more famous rivers that flow into Boston Harbor. There hasn't been a movie named after it. Doesn't host a regatta. But the Neponset is a river of firsts. It was one of the first rivers in New England to be harnessed for water power when its first dam was erected in 1634. The multitude of industrial dams that followed powered the country's first paper mill, first gunpowder mill, and first mechanized chocolate production at the Walter Baker Chocolate Factory. For over 375 years, the river was used for industrial water supplies and power, and the industrial wastes were discharged back into it with little or no treatment. Eventually, sections began to resemble open sewers as infrastructure demands on outdated and overwhelmed stormwater and sewage systems overwhelmed them. Some Lower Neponset neighborhoods were walled off, no longer able to access or even see the river running through them. In the 1960s and 70s, plans to pave over large sections of waterways and wetlands were underway. The Southwest Corridor Project, a plan to bring Route 95 straight into Boston along and in many cases on top of the Neponset River, was gaining momentum. The project would have paved over much of Fowl Meadow, a critical 7-mile tract of wetland that runs through Norwood, Canton, Dedham, Milton, Hyde Park, and Sharon. It also called for locating a major interchange on top of Paul's Bridge, an historic stone bridge in Milton. Environmental activists were among the most vocal and effective opponents of this project, including newly founded NEPRA, then called the Neponset Conservation Association. Today, you can visit Paul's Bridge and walk the Burma Road Trail into Fowl Meadow, where instead of cars, you can see a wide variety of birds and plants. It's a lovely walk. The trail end and turnaround is next to Route 95, near a municipal garage to your left, and just beyond that is the remnants of an off-ramp from this abandoned project. It's a close call. So while water conditions have improved greatly in the intervening years, restoration work continues. Years after federal and state water protection legislation was enacted, pollution and other threats remain. Some of it is the result of past human activity, like PFAS or arsenic contamination. Some of it is ongoing, lawn fertilizers and dog waste and outdated septic systems and overwatering. And today there are still more than 100 dams on the Neponset and its tributaries. Along with other human alterations, these structures reduce the ability of naturally flowing waterways and floodplains to absorb and channel water during extreme weather events. They trap silt and sediment, which can flood downstream neighborhoods and habitats when they fail. They block fish from migrating and destroy habitats that need cold running water to support a variety of species. They disconnect the river. A healthy river is a natural waterway that embodies connection. It connects communities and habitats as a shared natural resource. And it connects us across time. Past activity affects future generations of people and wildlife, like dams, culverts, and contaminants. The work that we do at NEPRA is based on connections, reconnecting waterways for fish and wildlife, connecting cities and towns to build climate resilience by working together on climate adaptation strategies to protect lives, property, and nature, and reconnecting neighborhoods to each other and to the river. You may know this already, but I am often asked, so I will take just a moment here, what is a watershed exactly? It's the area of land that drains into the same body of water, land connected by its water. In our case, of course, the Neponset River. Our watershed encompasses 120 square miles of land and waterways in 14 cities and towns, including Sharon. It is home to more than 330,000 people and supplies drinking water to approximately 120,000 of them. Our waterways and our shores are also home to a huge variety of wildlife. Muskrats, river otters, beavers, great blue heron, snowy egrets, even bald eagles, one of which I was lucky enough to see in Sharon over Lake Massapog a few weeks ago. In the river and its estuaries live freshwater mussels, perch, and pickerel, and many of our brooks and streams support trout, bass, and sunfish. And like me, I imagine many of you don't have to venture too far into the farther into the watershed than your backyard to see some of our resident deer and wild turkeys. Running 30 miles from Foxborough to Boston Harbor, the Neponset today connects a mosaic of residential, commercial, and industrial neighborhoods and runs along urban streets and wooded trails alike, a shared resource that brings people together to build community. But many neighborhoods in the watershed, especially neighborhoods of color, remain blocked off from nature and the river. In the past 2 years, much has been studied, reported, and discussed about the benefits of time spent outdoors. Many of us were able to experience these effects personally because we have easy access to outdoor spaces. We live near forests or trails or ponds and have transportation to reach them. We may have had the privilege to have this experience at an early age, at a summer camp or a beach cottage. But of course, not all of us have access to these spaces. The river does have green spaces or greenways along large portions of the most densely populated and developed Lower Neponset, stretching 10 miles through Mattapan, Dorchester, Milton, and parts of Quincy. But improvements are needed to preserve and maintain these green spaces, parks, and multi-use trails. NEPRA is working with neighborhood community groups to hear what green spaces residents would like to see, and working with DCR, the Department of Conservation and Recreation, to improve wayfinding and interpretive signage, fix flooding issues, and partner with residents to create programming and events along greenways that will bring more families out to enjoy these spaces, especially in underserved neighborhoods. And we are working with neighborhood groups to open fences and walls along the north side of the river in Mattapan and Hyde Park. A stark example of these barriers can be seen along Edgewater Drive in Mattapan, where a decades-old 4-foot-tall stone wall with just one small, uninviting entrance extends along a half mile of the river. Environmental justice communities that historically haven't received the same level of funding as other communities need increased access to a healthy river and green space, one of many harmful environmental and economic disparities. Separating communities from clean, accessible natural resources and limiting access to funding to restore polluted water and land is environmental injustice. Environmental justice equitably restores clean water and land and access to recreational opportunities in and along our waterways, parks, trails, and woodlands throughout the watershed. In addition to access and greenways, this means securing nomination of the 3.7 miles of the river that run through Hyde Park, Mattapan, Dorchester, and Milton as a Superfund site. For 20 years, we have worked alongside a wide variety of partners, including state and federal agencies, cities and towns, and local residents, to see this section of the river added to the Superfund list and cleaned up. It's recruiting Mass DEP to target illegal dumping along the river in Mattapan, and reducing flood hazards to an environmental justice neighborhood downstream of the Mill Pond Dam in Norwood, and creating a new park in two other environmental justice neighborhoods there. It's working to connect the currently dead-end Neponset Greenway to regional trail networks like the Boston Harbor Walk, the Blue Hills, and upriver to the Warner Trail, expanding access to communities along the Neponset and beyond. Looking at the river as a living shared space allows us to see the impact each section has on others and how it moves through and impacts all of our communities. Our watershed brings us together in a shared outdoor civic space in which we can build community, but requires both individual and collective action to be a healthy, vibrant resource that benefits and protects people and wildlife alike. We're looking forward to connecting with you this year out on the waterways, greenways, trails, forests, and parks in Sharon and throughout the watershed. And I look forward to connecting with you after the service at coffee hour, and I'm happy to talk more about our work or answer any questions that you have. Thank you.